brought in to do that. I mean, there's a reason that they're giving up. That they really think right now that they're going to be. I mean, they really think that they are worth. They're going to win right now. That's what they're worth.
I just got to say, we just got maybe the best compliment I've ever been given in my entire life.
Oh man!
From the 707. I hope I don't know this person, and they're not doing this to troll me because you're digging deep right here.
Yeah.
As a big time Office stan, they said our rendition was better than Michael Scott's and Holly Flack's.
What, the Let's Get Ethical?
Ethical.
The ethics meeting?
Yeah.
It's a good episode, but I don't know if this was better than that.
Positional.
I think with the top, like, they have all the time in the world to practice that. They got multiple takes. I mean, we did that in just a quick minute.
Yeah, it was first take. We're first take guys.
30 seconds to 1 minute. But, all right. Let's transition here as we go on to the quarterbacks.
Positional.
All right. So Jimmy Garoppolo versus Mason Rudolph. Now, back when Mason Rudolph was being drafted and he was playing at Oklahoma State with James Washington, I mean, you're a big draft guy and you've been doing a lot of draft research and everything. What did you see from Mason Rudolph coming out of that draft?
I liked him. What people forget a lot about Mason Rudolph specifically is going into that college football season, there was a lot of quarterbacks. Sam Darnold was the lead guy. Everybody wanted a piece of Sam Darnold. Josh Rosen was right there next to him. And then you kind of heard about these guys, Lamar Jackson. Baker Mayfield was maybe projected to be a fourth, fifth round pick, a developmental guy. The third guy in line right behind Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen was Mason Rudolph. He had a shaky season, but he's throwing to James Washington, who was a really highly touted receiver out of Oklahoma State. They were definitely part of that air raid Big 12 offense. It wasn't literally in 1 year. If you had a Big 12 quarterback, you're like, they're playing terrible defenses. They're playing soft defenses. You can't draft a guy like that.
Right.
Well, now look, Kyler Murray, first overall pick. Jalen Hurts, the Oklahoma quarterback right now, is getting draft love. A ton of Big 12 quarterbacks. Look what Gardner Minshew's doing. Air raid quarterbacks are going to be the next wave in the NFL. And Mason Rudolph is a product of that. If the Steelers can kind of put that into a bottle and let him do his thing, and I'm saying letting him do his thing by slinging the football all around the yard, they could maybe have something. I think that this guy is the long-term option. I think he is the predecessor to Big Ben. And the 49ers are going to get the first dose of him. And that should be scary a little bit because this guy could be that next guy. I'm telling you, if you like Sam Darnold, if you're a fan of Josh Rosen, like our boy Nasher is, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph was in that group with those guys. So there should be a little bit of nervousness, I would say, because you don't know what kind of wild card this guy could be.
Right. And really, I'm totally with you on him actually being the predecessor to Ben Roethlisberger because you look – I'm not saying that he's these guys, but guys like Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, they were drafted in the first round. But like you look at, I mean, even Tom Brady behind Drew Bledsoe. I mean, these guys were brought in so that they could at least take over for guys who are on the other side of 30 who are going to need replacing at some point. Mason Rudolph was brought in much to the dismay of Ben Roethlisberger, and that told me that Ben Roethlisberger knows there's something up. And when you get you draft the guy and you bring him in to take over for you for a team that's yours, like it is Ben Roethlisberger's, he didn't show any sort of – he didn't text him. He didn't give him any advice, welcome him to the team. Yeah. He didn't give any of that. So I think right now the Niners are playing a guy who feels like he needs to prove he can be that predecessor.
So I just pulled up really quickly some notes on Mason Rudolph that I had going back from the draft, and it was stiff in the pocket, a true pocket passer, keeps his eyes down the field. That was my number one thing that I liked about Mason Rudolph. The guy likes to throw deep. I don't know if that's a product of the offense, but just off those quick little notes right there, who does that remind you of?
I mean, Big Ben.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's why he's probably the perfect one to replace him right now.
Yeah.
And it's up to the 49er fans to make it as loud as possible so that he can't do anything as far as communicating with his team.
We're going backwards here, but like if they lose to a rookie quarterback in his first start at home, we're all kind of high on the 49ers right there. If that happens, playing the big if game, how far does this team tumble?
That's a question we'll discuss coming up after the break. And plus, we'll give our actual positional breakdowns. We are gonna continue.
Positional.
Ooh, man, I bombed.
Lord, so that was, I mean, that's so good. I'm thrilled with how that actually turned out, because it's so bad that it's good. We'll continue to discuss this all on the other side. We'll have our start or sit just for life in general. And if you got any, please feel free to text them in at the Chill Not About You text line, 95795. We still got the running backs to go through, and then we go through the 49ers defense. What are these safeties? What are the corners going to do? What's the defensive line going to do? What's the linebackers going to do against these running backs? That's all coming up here. Stephen Langford, Tommy Call, going until 8 o'clock with you on 95.7 The Game. So we are going to continue to get positional.
Positional.
So for one thing, we use predecessor in the right way at the beginning, talking about the guy who's in there beforehand to take the job, and then we kept on calling Mason Rudolph the predecessor after he took the job.
We just rolled with it. We're professionals.
And the Chill Not About You text.
Yeah, they're letting us know.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's my
fault. I appreciate it. Yeah,
I just let it roll, and I just kept on going with it also. That's that, what are we? You went to Sonoma State, right?
Yeah, we're just changing things up a little bit. Keeping you guys, we want to make, what it really was is just a quick, you know, spin to this. We just want to make sure all you guys out there are listening on the text line, and if we make a mistake, you guys have our back.
Feel free to text it with anything you want going up until 8 o'clock. What you got going on tonight? What you got going on your Saturday night before 8 o'clock? This is when people are on their way to party.
You sounded a little like JD right there. What do you got? You teed him up with that.
A little, what do you got? Nah, okay. So we were talking about the quarterbacks beforehand. In the end, when you got Jimmy Garoppolo versus Mason Rudolph, yeah, let's take into account the defenses that they're going to be going against. Who do you think's going to overall have a better game in this one? Who do you think's going to have more of the impact? Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo?
You
got
to give it to
Mason
Jimmy
Rudolph?
Garoppolo. Yeah, I think that maybe statistically Mason Rudolph might, you know, beat Jimmy Garoppolo straight up, just because I think there's a chance that the, you know, 49ers take a lead and Mason Rudolph's going to have to throw a ton, where I think that the game plan for Kyle Shanahan should be similar to what it was with the Bengals, where you just kill them with the run game. But I think, you know, winning football, it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that this defense, which you just brought up, is a great point. The 49ers defense should cause havoc for the predecessor to Big Ben Roethlisberger, a.k.a. Mason Rudolph.
Oh, man.
That should be his nickname.
It should
Mason,
be.
Mason, the predecessor, Rudolph.
Man, wouldn't that be great if it was with, like, Patrick Mahomes' nickname, though? Patrick, the predecessor, just because there's alliteration and everything with that?
Yeah. We need some... So, speaking of nicknames, you see this nice call? People are referring to us as that now. I just got a text. Yo, nice call.
I think that's the same one, but from the 510, Pete... The west coast of the East Bay, Emeryville. Damn, he gave us like all the directions and everything of where he's at, but he's in Emeryville, and he said, nice call.
As the name to our show.
Nice call with Stephen Langford and Tommy Call.
Is that good, Arden and Nasher? You like that
I
one?
Mean, they call me nice guy.
That's a problem.
They call me nice guy Stephen during the week, and that's what most people know me as, so we could call it nice call. I think nice call actually works.
Yeah, the nice call.
I mean, that works for me.
Makes it sound kind of soft, but... Nash is just firing away the drops
goodness.
Back there.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So if we're going to continue, I do think, though, you're right, though. Jimmy Garoppolo is just going to have, I think, everything. What he showed last week is just a little taste of what he can bring. I don't know if you're going to be seeing with the Pittsburgh defense and what the Steelers are going to be bringing on the defensive line and what they can – what they're going to be able to sniff out. Mike Tomlin is no slouch as a coach. He's not a brand new guy like Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo as a defensive coordinator with Cincinnati. Pittsburgh, they're not going to be fooled by a lot of things, and they're going to be able to adjust. And I think this game is going to have to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's what the 49ers are going to have to do on offense. I think he's going to have to make throws that aren't necessarily wide open. I got some more next-gen stats for you about what Jimmy Garoppolo did last week.
I just perked up a little bit.
In this last week, the aggressive amount of throws that he made, the percentage of aggression is what they call it, his aggressive percentage, it was 4%.
So that means he's like taking a shot?
That means that he is throwing into a receiver who is at least a yard or shorter between the defender and the receiver. So if there's a yard separated between the defender and the receiver, that's the line. That's the line right there. And if there's less than a yard separated between whoever he's throwing the ball to and the defender, then that counts technically as a tight window. So he only threw 4% of that. And that was second to last in the league, which meant that Kyle Shanahan was game planning everyone open. If they're just not making aggressive throws and they don't do anything on the stat sheet, then that just shows they're not that great of a quarterback.
Yeah.
But if they're not making aggressive throws and they get the yards, that just shows that it was a good game plan called by Kyle Shanahan.
Do you think that the fact that the 49ers are going up against the Steelers and Big Ben isn't there, this is kind of a nice thing specifically for Jimmy Garoppolo, because you don't maybe need to rely on him as much? If Big Ben was out there, you'd put the label of shootout on this game, that you're going to have to see Jimmy Garoppolo throw for 300 yards and multiple touchdowns to give the 49ers a chance in this game. But now you can still kind of lightly get Jimmy Garoppolo into where he needs to be, right? Where you're going up against Tampa and Cincinnati that don't have the greatest of offense, and you don't want to unchain Jimmy Garoppolo and put the pressure on him to throw 30-plus, 40-plus times a game. Have him, you know, bring an air raid-type approach to the offense where you're going to need to see him light it up on the stats sheet specifically, where now you're going against Mason Rudolph, a rookie, where the 49ers are the favorite. They should be kind of winning this game. You need to run the ball. It should be an easier matchup, if that makes, you know, I know that's saying a lot, but is that a good thing for Jimmy Garoppolo's kind of recovery? Because still, this guy's coming off, this is only his third game back from coming back from ACL,
right?
A massive injury.
Right. I mean, they are going to be relying on the run game a lot, but if that thing doesn't work.
Or do you want to see Jimmy get challenged? Are you ready for that?
I'm ready for that. I'm ready to see him get challenged, because there's too many question marks around what Jimmy Garoppolo brings. And everyone that used the kind of the Kyle Shanahan game plan for him perfectly, any quarterback could have done what he actually did against the Bengals, then I don't think there's still question marks that need to be there. And if you're going to prove it once, just do it at Levi Stadium early in the season. I mean, if I'm willing to let him be aggressive a little bit and call things for his own, and if things aren't working for the run game, just try and take over. I do want to see that from Jimmy Garoppolo in this game, because we haven't seen him be able to take over if the running game isn't working, since it's been working so well.
All right, the position battle that I'm most excited for, that I can't wait to see,
yeah,
is that defensive line of the 49ers versus the offensive line of the Steelers, because that's one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. That offensive line is no joke. Andrew Villanueva, Pouncey in the middle.
David DeCastro.
Three
Pro Bowlers.
That's a real deal offensive line, where the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line, one of the worst in the league.
Right.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line, not great. Now you're putting this high-priced defensive line up against the real deal. A group that's done it and done it for a long time. What do you think? And do you have an edge in that matchup?
Man, I think that, as far as being a mismatch, is the least, like, there's...
It's a coin toss.
It is a coin toss with them, because you don't know what this defensive line is going to do against an offensive, because the Buccaneers offensive line wasn't great either.
No.
And the defensive line right now is ranked fourth in terms of efficiency and just how they're doing getting to the quarterback.
And it's caused problems in each of the first two games. Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston, both under serious duress.
Right.
Every time they're dropping back, it's problems. And it's freed up, guys. It's been a ripple effect. It's freed up Akilo Witherspoon, Richard Sherman, Quan Alexander specifically. All those guys have played better because of all the things that the defensive line has done. It's a true ripple effect. But that's the one part where I would say, yeah, you've gone against bad offensive lines, so you should be dominating them. Now, this is one of the best offensive lines in the NFL and has been for a long time. You don't think Andrew Villanueva is looking at Nick Bosa like, oh man, this is the first overall pick, I got to stop this guy. He's like, bring it, chump.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, kind of thing. And the rest of it, DeForest Buck, none of these guys bother, scare Pouncey, DeCastro, Villanueva. These guys have seen everybody and shut down studs year after year. So they're not going to be nervous.
D Ford, too. He's a game time decision. If you are going without D Ford against the Steelers offensive line, you're going to be missing the piece that's what he's been doing as far as just at least being right next to DeForest Buckner for most of the time, taking up being one-on-one with that matchup that DeForest Buckner's taken up double teams. What Dee Ford's been able to do, he looks like a guy who is worth that second-round pick that they brought him in for, and he looks to be that dude. And so if you're without him, it's just going to put more pressure on the defensive line, and the offensive line is just like, all right, without him, we'll be fine.
The only thing that I will say, though, is Ronald Blair's looked amazing.
He did.
So if Dee Ford doesn't play, Ronald Blair is, man, he's looking great. He's been incredible no matter where they've lined up, inside and out. He's been one of my most impressive players, maybe outside of Nick Bosa, for this entire 49ers roster. So I have a lot of faith in what Ronald Blair can bring to the defense in kind of a featured role if he has to line up as the edge rusher every time if Dee Ford can't do it. He's probably the next guy in line, and I don't have anything bad to say about Ronald.
I mean, he had five
tackles. He's filled in. He's what's made this defensive line mesh so well. It's shown kind of everything we've talked about, that having guys like Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner will free up other guys. Dee Ford will help the rest of the defensive line. Ronald Blair, I think, has been the biggest, you know, advocate of this. He's been the guy to benefit the most of playing next to DeForest Buckner and Dee Ford or Nick Bosa. No matter what, he's cleaning up.
I mean, there was one drive where he just totally took over. I think it was in the second quarter where there was one drive where he had a sack, and then two plays later, he also stuffed the run. Like, there's certain things that Ronald Blair's doing that kind of makes you think, I mean, Solomon Thomas, where are you at? Like, because Ronald Blair's been that guy who's been able to take over for Solomon Thomas a little bit and pick up the slack. He was able to do that last year. And then this year, too? I mean, Ronald Blair continues to show out.
I think he's a free agent after this season.
Is he? All right. Yeah. Got to double check that.
Yeah. So he's probably trying to get this money.
That's just another guy you're going to put on that list as to why you probably don't want to trade for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
I mean, if you
we haven't even talked about that yet.
I mean, that dude, what Jalen Ramsey could bring to your team on the field, something, it's special. He's going to be that guy who's going to.
No matter who you draft, unless you have a top five pick.
Right.
You're going to want that guy to be Jalen Ramsey.
Right. And there's guys on the defensive line like Eric Armstead, too, and DeForest Buckner.
Eric Armstead, we didn't even mention him in talking about the defensive line. He's been incredible, too.
He has just picked up everything, that all the slack that he brought to this team as that first-round pick. He probably heard some people.
For sure.
He heard the noise.
I think this is John Lynch's kind of perfect scenario of how this defensive line is performing, because he got a lot of flack for drafting defensive linemen year after year after year. No matter how good Nick Bosa was and is,
yeah,
you still had 49er fans out there kind of going, another defensive end drafted, another defensive lineman, first pick. Come on, really?
Yeah.
But this is what this is. This defensive line is playing at a high, high level, and they're going to be challenged tomorrow. I'm really excited to watch that matchup.
That's going to be the one that's...
I don't know who you give the edge to.
That's the one that's most questionable as far as just giving the edge to one or the other. It's going to be a battle in there.
Because both could have big effects on the entire game, because say the 49ers defensive line gets shut down.
Yeah.
By the offensive line, that gives Mason Rudolph time to, you know, do what he needs to do. That gives those receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington, time to develop on their routes. It has a big effect on the game. And then vice versa, if that defensive line's causing havoc the entire game, Mason Rudolph's probably not having a good day.
Right. I mean, you got to make him just not, he believes in himself. Yeah. He believes.
You saw
in
the
himself.
Wink last week.
Yeah.
There's like a video when he checked into the game.
Yes. Look,
I was pretty swaggy.
He wants to go into this game just at least proving that he can be the successor to Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm pretty sure you're looking for the word predecessor. That's what people on the text line are saying.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm using the wrong term there.
People
really
don't like that one.
No, they do not. We need to see the defensive line give this guy fits so that he is not comfortable. You're right. Being uncomfortable, doing whatever you can to at least show the Steelers like, hey, maybe you should think about something else with this guy. Because other than that, if they're going to get protection if the defensive line doesn't do anything. That's just what the offensive line is going to bring. So if they're probably the one position group for the Niners this week that needs to have the biggest impact more than pretty much any other position group.
I agree.
Obviously, they all need one, but the defensive line, though.
And I think this is why you pay This is why you pay these guys the money for games like this. All right, you're looking at D Ford. Hey, man, this is why we brought you here. Nick Bosa, this is why we drafted you. DeForest Buckner, you want to get paid like the highest defensive line of football? Make a play Sunday. Cause this rookie, you know,
right,
to play horrible. This is where you look at those guys and challenge them. This is why you bring them here for a game like this. Because they can, they could, like you said, tilt the game.
Where do you think there's more pressure if we're looking just at the offensive line of the Niners or the defensive line of the Niners? Because that defensive line is going against a offensive line of the Steelers that features three Pro Bowlers, and you got to get after the quarterback. But also, the offensive line for the Niners without Joe Staley, like we talked about earlier, going up against a defensive line that includes Stephon Tuitt, Bud Dupree, TJ Watt, all these guys, Cameron Hayward, all of that. I mean, is there more pressure on... Basically, I'm asking, is there more pressure to protect Jimmy Garoppolo to make sure he looks good, or for the defensive line to get pressure on Mason Rudolph so that Mason Rudolph looks bad?
I think there's more pressure on the defensive line because of everything you've paid for them and everything that this front office has done to get this defensive line to where it's at. You need them to make plays. It was like I was just saying, this is why you bring these guys here, where on the offensive side of the football, you can maybe win the game by running the football and developing the run and giving Jimmy Garoppolo easy passes. Jimmy Garoppolo's played behind a bad offensive line before. I have trust and faith in his mobility to extend plays, to do all those type of things. Where I don't know what Mason Rudolph could be. I don't want to give this rookie a ton of time back there. The defensive line can have a massive effect and can ruin his day. We could see, we want to see a rookie debut starter tomorrow.
Right.
We want to see him be a rookie. You don't want to give him time.
Right.
So the defensive line needs to do that.
Yeah. And, but for me, I mean, this offensive line, what it needs to do to get the offense rolling, I did say earlier, I want to see Jimmy Garoppolo kind of have that sort of takeover mindset where he needs to take over the game.
A signature win.
Right. But he also hasn't even proven that yet. So we do want to see that, but that's also... From Jimmy Garoppolo, I do, but there's also some risk that's involved with that. If you got the offensive line doing something against this defensive line, what it can do for Matt Breida, opening up the run game for him, and therefore opening up the play action for Jimmy Garoppolo, what Kyle Shanahan does best, and that's just drawing up those play action plays. I think what the offensive line needs to do against the defensive line, there's more pressure on what the offensive line needs to bring for the Niners rather than the Niners defensive line. I know I said all that stuff about Jimmy Garoppolo wanting to, like, I would want to see it out of him just so I could actually get a gauge on it, but he also hasn't proven it yet. So when I'm thinking about just, if I'm pinning it down, just the offensive line of the Niners or the defensive line of the Niners, I'd be going with the offensive line.
Are we almost at prediction time for tomorrow's game?
I mean, 6:34 prediction time. I mean, we could just take off one and knock out one of these pick'ems that we got going on. What'd you go last week? Do you know? Because I went, I went 20-10-1. That's what I'm up at week 2. I went 9-6 last week.
I don't know. I didn't look. I didn't count it up. I thought you were counting it for the both of us. Selfish. Man, what a team player this guy is.
Oh, man.
You're saying you were counting up the picks.
I got yours written down here, but I didn't count them all in total. But I'll do that. Because
we went the same week 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this week could be the deciding factor.
I think we actually went the same on this last one.
No.
Because we had some differences here where you actually.
On to week 3.
Yeah. So, but. If I'm going to have to pick right now, got to check where the over-under is at for this game so we can make our uninformed/informed/uneducational/educated picks. But if I had to make one pick for this game, I would be taking – The over-under is at 44 right now?
44.
Oh, my God. I would take the Niners. I think I'm going to take the Niners this week against the Steelers. I do think overall
– What's your score prediction?
44 – I mean, I'm never taking the under on a Niner game again because I took the under on the Niners-Bengals and I thought it was going to be a fully defensive game. But if I'm going to go the over-under on the 44, I'm going to go over on this game and I'm going to take the Niners. I think they win. I'm going to go 35-27.
Wow. High-scoring game.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that. What about you?
I'm going 35-10, 49ers.
35-10?
Yeah.
Damn, you think they're going to get after Mason Rudolph, huh?
I do.
I mean, do you think James Conner is going to continue to not perform?
Yes.
Because he hasn't been good.
Yeah. I was, when we talked about fantasy football on our show, I was a big fade James Conner guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
going.
Shout out to our boy Lucas, who took him in the first round in like every league I know.
But yeah, I mean, what was the score again? Give me that one more time.
35-10.
35-10. San Francisco 49ers.
This is my first game all year that I predicted the 49ers to win.
I mean, by 25, though, it just feels like it'd be too close. Oh, my goodness. I mean, even with 35 points, yeah. I mean, I'd be going 35 points, too, but I also see the Steelers actually doing something this because they're 0-2, and I think
they're desperate.
And I think they are. And I think Mike Tomlin is that. I think he's a good coach.
I thought this was a really good point brought up by Damon Bruce earlier this week when I was listening. He was saying that out of all the 0-2 teams, the most dangerous one, the most desperate one, is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I completely agree with him. So you don't know what Mike Tomlin is doing in that locker room right now. What is he saying to Mason Rudolph? Is he challenging guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, Cameron Hayward, the rest of these guys here?
Anything you hear from as far as like a backup standpoint and going in for a starter, you don't hear these other players say, oh yeah, there's more pressure on him, we're just going to keep playing the same way. The pressure is going to be on these other Steelers players. You bring up a Juju Smith-Schuster, you know Mike Tomlin is there, like, you got to help this guy out. James Washington, we know what you did with him in Oklahoma State. You were his number one receiver when you were there. You're going to have to go big, and you're going to have to try and get deep on Richard Sherman, which that was one of the bigger surprises, was the way that Richard Sherman was able to go step for step with John Ross, one of the fastest players in the NFL. But that also just proved how smart Richard Sherman was, because Richard Sherman, the way you're able to keep up is not just with your speed. It's just with also being smart and getting the right timing and following him at that point.
Technique.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I think that going forward, it's going to be one to, like, it's, I think it's going to be a good game. I don't know necessarily 35-10. I think it'll be closer than that. But also, that home crowd is going to have some sort of, I think it's going to have an impact more than, I mean, it's had in the past few years with Levi's Stadium.
Yeah.
It's got to. Ryan Clark, yeah, he was on NFL Live on ESPN earlier this week. And the fact that you bring up the Steelers being the 0-2 team that's most hungry, they were going over the contenders or pretenders for their 2-0 teams on ESPN earlier this week, and Ryan Clark had this to say.
The Bills are the lowest 2-0 team. And coach is right. They should be higher, because you know who should be behind them? The 49ers. They are pretending. They are faking us out. They are imitators, pretenders, whatever you want to say. They are not the real deal at 2-0. Listen, I still don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know a lot of people said he's gotten over some of the struggles of the preseason and he's fully back from the injury. Kyle Shanahan did a great job of scheming people open against the Cincinnati Bengals, but he was not sharp against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They won that game because Jameis Winston was just actually worse. And so watching this team progress down the rest of the season, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to be better, but they have to continue that run game that we saw unveiled in Cincinnati.
So it sounds like the reason he's saying they're pretenders is because Jimmy Garoppolo. And it seemed like he was judging them based on that. And what I took away from that is the disrespect to the defense. Seems like there's got to be someone in there that jumped in with saying, well, I mean, it's not necessarily all on Jimmy Garoppolo. And the reason Jameis Winston was so bad was because the defensive line made him look bad.
I think that what Ryan Clark is saying here is kind of, he's voicing a lot of the concerns that the skeptics of the 49ers have. And I think that they're deserving of some of those. As much as we've hyped them up through two games, it's still only two games. And that's really the bottom line. So some people aren't, you know, I said they're legit. Some people still want to see more proof. I think I've seen enough to say that. And that's the primary reason I say they're legit is because how good their defense is. And I think that's going to keep them in a lot of games.
I mean, you have to think that.
But you still haven't seen it from Jimmy Garoppolo yet. You haven't.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a complete game from him. Without a bad, horrible-looking interception. That interception he threw in Cincinnati was bad.
Right.
It was an ugly, ugly ball.
I mean, he's still making those mistakes.
I think Ryan Clark is definitely, you know, picking on the 49ers a little bit, but I also think he's loudly saying what a lot of people might be thinking if you're skeptical of what the 49ers have done so far. And you're going to get that. This team's done nothing. They've proved nothing since Kyle Shanahan has been there. So it's going to take a lot to prove something. And it might be 3-0. It might be that Monday night game against the Cleveland Browns. You win that game, you're maybe not a pretender anymore.
You think it's going to take a couple more weeks before you can actually even put contenders or pretenders on their name?
Teams start 3-0 and don't make the playoffs all the time. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. That's kind of like their recipe for success. They go 3-0, get you all excited, and then lose six straight.
I mean,
you're drafting 13th overall.
I'm so sorry. I mean, it's going to make it a little easier with the point spreads that we got coming up. We're both 1-2 when picking our sleepers, the favorites, and
someone
the
said they're waiting for our gambling advice.
They are waiting for the over-under game.
And we're going to do Dolphins every week, right?
Yes. Yes. And we got, I mean, what are they at now? They're at 22?
22.
22 is 22 point spread. Dogs. Oh, man. All right. Coming up, we got some starter sits here from fantasy football as well as just regular life. We'll mix
diving
in a
back
couple.
Into some fantasy football. I'm excited.
We are diving into it. And then we are going to take our actual picks for these games going forward and who we got with the point spreads. We're going to have our favorites, going to have the sleepers. Feel free to chime in. Chilton Autobody text line 957-95-888-957-9570. Stephen Langford, Tommy Call in with you up until 8 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Stephen Langford, Tommy Call in with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. Shout out to Nash behind the glass. Shout out to
head bobbing.
Shout out to Arden. We're all just head bobbing here.
This is a head bobbing
on a Saturday night.
Turn this up.
You like passion fruit?
Yeah. Of course. Look at me. You're sitting in your car right now. You're turning up a little bit.
This is
vibes right here. Straight vibes.
This was Drake's, in my opinion. Like, I'm a big, like, I've never really been a big Drake guy. I've listened to every single one of his albums, and I've been critical of him. But if I had to put, like, a best album label on it, I think So Far Gone, that mixtape that he first came out with, I think that's up there with one of his best. But this thing, More Life, that he came out with all this sort of stuff, I think that's one of his best albums today.
I liked it. I mean, I don't love Drake, but I don't hate him.
Yeah.
You know, of course I listen to the popular ones.
Right.
Like Take everybody. Care? I mean,
Take Care?
You're just walking over Take Care?
I am.
It's the greatest album of our generation, Steven.
Oh, my God. This is just unbelievable. The greatest album of our generation. If you want to go with that, then fine. Go with that. But, like, I think More Life, what he brought to that, was more life to his career. That's just where I'm at.
And we're bringing more life to fantasy football.
Yes, we are. Chilton Autobody.
That's a transition.
Thank you for that. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. If you have any starter sits going into this week, any sort of fantasy football thoughts, any advice that you want to bring to
us. I'm 0-2 in the 95.7 league. I need help, people. I need a general manager. I'm the Bill O'Brien. I'm in the Houston Texans.
You're
frauds.
Just coach, GM, player of the year.
Text line, help me out here.
But the Chilton
Shoot me your resume.
From the 925, LeSean McCoy or Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram.
I mean, you got to go Mark Ingram.
That's easy.
I think you got to go Mark Ingram all the way there. You're going against the Chiefs.
Well, he's hit touchdowns every game, right?
Just about. I don't think he hit one last week. I can't remember
what
he did last week.
He had two against the Finners.
Yeah. But
everybody gets two.
But LeSean McCoy will be the starter for Damian Williams, because Damian Williams has been ruled out for this Sunday, and LeSean McCoy is going to be the starter, but he's also ailing with an injury, too.
Yeah, so are you picking up Darwin Thompson? I drafted him.
Right now, I don't know. I mean, I would if I had any room for him on my teams. I think he'd be worth it, but if I'm picking up anybody, it's going to be DeMarcus Robinson or Mecole Hardman from the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, DeMarcus, what they did against the Raiders.
The Raiders just ran into a freight train, man. I feel bad.
They ran into a freight train for one quarter. I thought they could have come back from that game.
They looked good in the first quarter. I was like, man, Gruden, that the defense is playing hard. And then Pat Mahomes did. Oh, my. Did you see the end zone angle of the throw that he hit to, I think it was, no, it was to Hardman. It was the deep ball to Hardman. He was just like on his tippy toes and just like pushed it downfield. And just the ball exploded off of his hand.
There were multiple plays that were called for flags there where he made an unbelievable throw, like ones that you just don't see from quarter. That's why I call him a generational talent, a once in a generation.
I mean, he's must watch TV every time he's on there.
Right. And what they did against the Raiders. But I thought the Raiders could have come back, though. It was 28-10, but it was like that for the first half. I thought the Raiders against this Chiefs defense could have at least scored 18 points to at least tie it up with the team. I thought they could have at least come back and won that game, but they didn't because I mean, I don't know if you were paying it or listening at least closely to the audio there, because you know, you're at a bar, you're at a function, whatever you're at, watching football, you're watching with your friends, you can't really hear the TV, but every single play, Derek Carr was calling out some sort of check at the line, kind of just like he's calling Monday, or, you know, telling Rodney Hudson, we're good. We're telling the wide receivers, yeah, we're good. He's just constantly talking. And it seemed like for this offense where a majority of the players are under their first year with John Gruden and Derek Carr, not necessarily their rookie year, but their first year, like Darren Waller and Tyrell, yeah, Williams, you just saw them at least get one false start because it just became
just
confusing.
So much. And you're at home.
Yeah.
Now you're going on the road for a long time. But tying back to Pat Mahomes, I cannot wait for that Ravens-Chiefs game on Sunday. Who would you rather have as your fantasy quarterback, Lamar or Pat Mahomes?
Are you talking like just for this week?
Just for this week.
For the long term.
Yeah, hit us on the text line. Who would you rather have, Pat Mahomes or Lamar?
Right now.
Actually, for your quarterback for the season.
Man. For the season, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, for this game, are you thinking Lamar then?
For this game, because of what the Chiefs defense is going to bring. I mean, Frank Clark isn't going to be... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Frank Clark is the only player on that defense that really does anything. Tyrann Mathieu's not the same safety that he once was. So for this
game... He's one of my like favorite non-Dolphins. I love Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
He's a baller.
Well, I mean, it's his personality, just, yeah, his kind of motivational attitude, being a total, like a guy who's totally switched up from the type of guy he was at LSU. He's, yeah, a great player.
One of the best defensive players I've ever seen at the college level.
Right.
I mean, that season at LSU was, I mean, he was unbelievable.
Right.
Every time he got the football at the most just unbelievable times. Like, he was just running the other way with the football. And you're like, how did he do that?
But a big thing, right, was his personality.
Yeah.
And it's just like him
being the honey badger.
Him off the field, and he's just totally changed up. But, man, if I had to choose between one or the – I might be leaning Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson for this week, but you'd go Pat Mahomes for the season. I think that's fair. I have Lamar. You guys know how big of a Lamar fan I am. I have him in every single league.
Yeah.
And – I mean, I'm loving it, obviously.
Yeah, you came into the show, man, and you were on it. You were on it, then all of a sudden he throws like four touchdowns in the first half. And then I was just like,
yeah,
what?
I'm going to have to victory lap every Saturday. I was on Lamar and Dalvin Cook. Those are my guys.
I was kind of disappointed. I thought you'd talk a little more trash because I was down talking him beforehand.
Nah.
I thought
that's not my style.
That 2018 Lamar Jackson, I thought that was going to carry over into 2019. The guy who couldn't throw a 5-yard out. But now
some of the throws
totally
he
different.
Made against Arizona. Just putting the football in a bucket.
You'd count them as legitimate dimes. You really would. And dimes is not a term used in football. Maybe by the regular fan, the ones who are just watching for fun, but the guys who are analysts and ones who...
We have another person say they're going to go with Lamar. I mean, I text her
for this game,
the 415.
Against the Chiefs.
Nash is looking at me shaking his head like, no way you go away from Pat Mahomes. And I couldn't argue with that. That's why I think that this game is going to be so electric. For one, it's going to be good football. You're going to find out who the pretenders and the contenders are in this game. Blech.
Yeah. I think.
Shout out to Ryan Clark.
I mean, Mahomes, though, I got him in one of my leagues, and he helps me win games every week.
A little preview to the pick'em. I'm going Ravens. Upset.
Really?
Yeah.
Against the Chiefs this
week?
Yeah,
I do a weekly pick'em every week, and they're my upset pick this
Even
week.
At Arrowhead for their – isn't that their first game at Arrowhead?
My big reason as to why is because I just think that the Ravens defense is legit and they're going to play keep away from Pat Mahomes when they get the ball on offense, and I think they're going to win.
That's what the Raider game plan was against Patrick Mahomes, was just to keep him off the field in the first quarter, and they did for the most part. But then in the second quarter, they just let him on for a few plays,
gosh,
and he was just able to make deep passes no matter where he was on the field. He was at second base on the dirt where a second baseman would be, and he was still able to get it into the end zone.
I was watching the game. Well, I wasn't watching. I was with my dad. Mm-hmm. He was in one room. I was in the other room. I was doing some writing for the 49ers, and we were playing each other in our fantasy league, and he's just popping his head in and going, Mahomes touchdown, Mahomes touchdown, Mahomes touchdown. And then he's telling me four touchdowns in one quarter. Oh my gosh.
It was a little much. It was a little much just to handle. I mean, it's just, you knew that that's what Patrick Mahomes was going to bring, though.
Is it crazy that you know he's going to bring this to the table, but he still consistently does it.
And he does it with throws that you don't expect.
There's been no drop-off from the MVP season from last year.
Nothing. It seems like they're game planning for him perfectly. Andy Reid.
Everybody knows Pat Mahomes.
Everyone does.
And he's still just tearing it up.
That's what guys like Tom Brady bring. It's what guys like Aaron Rodgers bring. They're successful. They know that these defenses that are going against these teams, they know that their star quarterback, they understand the type of guy. They have so much film on him. They have so much tape, but they're going to beat them regardless because that's just what they do.
Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo is ever going to be a guy like that? Or do you think he just is what he is? A middle-of-the-road QB.
I think, as of right now, I don't think he's a middle-of-the-road. I think he's better. Like, whatever the middle... What's in between middle-of-the-road and elite?
Let's say 15 to 12. I would say if you're a top 12 quarterback, you're probably pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you're elite if you're top 5. Because I probably think there's only 3 to 5 elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'd have to write them down, but if I had to put a guess, I'd put him in that. I think he could be in that 5 to 12 range, but nothing higher than that. I don't think he's going to ever be a top 5 type of QB.
Top 10?
I think top 10 is. I think it can be that way. It's not that way right now, but he can be that guy if you give him some time from that injury. Because again, we do this with. We do this kind of with recency bias, what we've seen these past couple of years. But in reality, he hasn't had much time to work. He hasn't had a few seasons under his belt to the point where we Alex Smith took him 7 seasons before, like in the NFL, before we actually knew what kind of a quarterback he was and what he did and how he could be successful. With Jimmy Garoppolo, he hasn't even been in the league for that long, even as a starter either. So I think Jimmy Garoppolo, there's a little bit of long of a leash for that. But right now, he's definitely not top 10. I'm not saying that, but I think he could be. I think that would be his ceiling if I had to put a ceiling on Jimmy Garoppolo. But what about you, though?
Yeah, I kind of think the more I watch Jimmy Garoppolo is that he's just who we've seen him. A guy that's going to make a couple mistakes. He's going to make a good couple of plays, some good, some bad.
Yeah.
He's going to need a good defense to keep him in it. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but I think that's who he is. He's a 16 to 14 guy, just a middle of the road. I don't think he's ever going to knock on the door of being elite, but I also don't think that's a bad thing. Hopefully Kyle Shanahan has the skills to draw guys open for him and get him looks that he needs to win, which what we've seen from these two games. That yeah, he's going to make some mistakes, but he's also going to have some great plays. Like the throw to Marquise Goodwin. And that just is what it is.
I think the hope you need as a 49er fan is, I'm not going to be saying that he needs to be this or he can be this, but what you want is something similar, like we always mention. You want something similar to what the Patriots have in Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Toward the end of Jimmy Garoppolo's career, if he's hit that ceiling, he's hit that point of actually being a top 10 quarterback, you want him being in the same realm as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and that you have the question of, would Jimmy Garoppolo have been more successful under a different head coach? You want that coming into it, because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have had that rapport, and there are a lot that question whether Tom Brady, say if he was on the Browns, would Tom Brady still be the same quarterback?
I think you can say that for just a lot of guys.
You can.
Yeah.
You can, but Jimmy Garoppolo also, though, is right on that teetering edge of a guy who it feels like you found the right system, and it feels like him and Kyle Shanahan were on that same page against the Bengals, and I think that that's why I would make that comparison like right now, because these two guys they've worked together for he was brought in as a franchise quarterback, and Kyle Shanahan was supposed to be that guy, was supposed to put him over the hump, and you hope that they can just both stick around and they could have that chemistry, they could have what you need between a head coach and a quarterback.
I have there's been some incredible start sits that I want to ask you, because I need help with one specifically, and I'm looking at it right here.
Yes.
Nelson Aguilar or Josh Gordon?
I'm going Josh Gordon all the way, personally. Yeah, man. Nelson Aguilar, he just hasn't shown that.
Well, I'm saying because, you have DeSean Jackson's out. I think Alshon Jeffery's going to play.
Is he? That entire Eagles wide receiving core just went down within a span of like 5 minutes. So
it did.
You don't even know what they're going to do.
I have Carson Wentz and I have Alshon Jeffery, so I picked up Nelson Aguilar, and I'm debating starting him tomorrow.
mean, he just that pass that he dropped toward the end of the game. Now he was doing it. He was doing well in the game.
Helped me so much.
But yeah, but seeing what he did there in crunch time in the big moment, and it's been a problem for Nelson Agholor a lot of the time. It's just that he can't catch these passes, these open passes. So
you're all in on Josh Gordon. That's an easy one for you.
Yeah, I think Josh Gordon is damn good without Antonio Brown too.
Sony Michel or Matt Breida? That's a tough one.
I mean, I'd be going Matt Breida all day.
Yeah, probably going Matt Breida too. I think he's the feature guy for San Francisco.
Patriots fan Nash is back there shaking his head, but I don't like any of the running backs
it's
for
so
the Patriots
hard to
ever.
Go Patriots running backs.
Well, it's going to be a blowout. They're going to run themselves out of the game. I mean, just run the ball until the clock runs out. We saw it last week in Miami. Sony had a great game.
He what? It was like 80-something yards?
Yeah, that's enough.
And a touchdown?
He got in the end zone, and he got one
but
call
Matt Breida's
back.
Gotten
one,
a buck 20.
I think he's sharing the backfield with actually just as many guys.
I mean, you're going to...
And Shannon said Mostert's the red zone guy.
I mean, you are going to have... I mean, are CJ Williams and Quinnen Williams, are they still going to be out? I mean, are they actually going to play?
Mosley and Quinnen? I'm not sure.
I mean, those two were out of the last game. I don't know if this upcoming game they're still going to be out, but I just don't trust Patriots running backs at all, and I feel like there's just more of a shot of having success if you put Matt Breida in there. But you never know with these guys.
All right. This person's texted in twice, it looks like, here. And this is a really good one, too. And I feel bad for the guy if you have these as your options. Carlos Hyde or LeSean McCoy? That's some desperation right there.
Don't you think, aren't we underrating Carlos Hyde a little bit? Hang on one sec. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Don't you think that Carlos Hyde... He hasn't shown out because he hasn't been with the right team. I mean, I know he's old, but he's still running hard with the Texans.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like you because we talked about it before that you were a big Carlos Hyde fan when he was here in the Bay Area. You thought he was a feature back, had that potential to be a bell cow type of guy. And ever since he's left San Francisco, he hasn't had the chance to because he keeps getting these weird situations. Cleveland, Jacksonville.
Right.
Now he's with the Chiefs. Now he's back on Houston where there's Duke Johnson and they throw the ball a lot. I think for this specific start sit, you probably roll Carlos Hyde just for the fact that he could be out there more because LeSean McCoy is still banged up. And that Ravens defense, run defense is nasty. I think that game is going to be kind of a shootout.
Right. I got Carlos Hyde in one of my leagues and I'm not even like putting it as a question of whether I should bench him or start him or not. That's also because I'm kind of thin at running back.
Yeah.
But I have Carlos Hyde right now as just my RB2. It's pretty bad. It's a pretty bad running back core to have when you have Carlos Hyde as the RB2.
Yeah.
But he's done
where
enough.
Where you have to start him.
Where he's done it. He's done enough for me to the point where I'm cool with just starting him pretty much every week. And going against the Chargers, we'll see how they do going forward. You never know with the Chargers. They're that 1-1 team where you just don't know anything. You don't know whether they're pretenders.
Stay tuned for our gambling advice because I'm on that game.
Oh, man. I mean, dude, think about that. Think about Matthew Stafford going against Phillip Rivers. Those are two quarterbacks where you know for a fact one of them is going to be driving down the field in the fourth quarter because their team is 5 points behind.
Has Matthew Stafford replaced Jay Cutler as that, Jay Cutler versus Phil Rivers. That's the matchup you want to see. That's the next best thing to Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. Jay Cutler versus Phillip Rivers. That's the next matchup.
Matt, isn't he better than Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
I mean, God. I mean, Matt Stafford,
but just,
I think, is...
just animated guys that you kind of want to punch in the face, but also provide some drama.
I don't want to punch Matthew Stafford in the face. Like, he seems like
a good
dude.
You don't think Matt's... I'm not saying anything about his character. I'm just saying he has a punchable face.
I don't think Matt Stafford has a punchable face.
This puts Stafford into context. The Lions went 0-16 to get Matt Stafford.
Tank for Tua.
Like, maybe they didn't tank for him, but that was a reward from going 0-16.
I don't know.
They haven't really been any better or really been worse.
You've been seeing this stuff with Calvin Johnson, by the way, that's come out. I mean, it's just he's just, like, talking about how, Rob Gronkowski afterwards, his retirement and what they did with Andrew Luck and the fact that they paid him all this, his money for this year. Yeah. I mean, he's just
What do you think that Josh Gordon thinks when he hears Calvin Johnson say, yeah, I smoked weed after every single game?
Child's play.
Josh Gordon's like,
I mean, I'm doing this before the games, man. At least I used to.
How did I get caught?
Yeah, not now, but beforehand, he's just like, yeah, I probably did this before these games. Rico in Pittsburgh. You have some thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo. What's going on, Rico?
Rico.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, hey, man, well, you know, well, check this out. I just want to say about Jimmy, man, that I actually got confidence. I'm a diehard Niner fan. But right now, I feel he is a 50-50 guy. I feel like the defense is going to carry the Niners. The Niners are going to get better as, you know, as they go. But, you know, I mean, just I just feel like, I mean, they don't have – a couple of weeks ago, Brian Billick said about – I just still regret that the fact that the Niners don't have that number one offensive guy. And I think that's going to be an issue later on the road if they go to the playoffs. I still believe defense wins championships and Super Bowls. But right now, I just feel that he's okay for our offense, and our defense is going to carry them. Let's go Oakland A's.
Thanks, Rico.
Ooh, a little A's drop at the end.
Thanks, Rico. You know what? For the Niners, though, it seems like that last game, it seems like they don't need that. Kyle Shanahan can make a number one guy out of any of these
guys. We talked
about
it. We think Deebo Samuel's probably the number one guy.
Right.